Good morning. 00 hours. Clear. 39 degrees. Good morning. 01 hundred hours. Clear. 39 degrees. Good morning. 02 hundred hours. Clear. 39 degrees. Good morning. 03 hundred hours. Clear. 35 degrees. Good morning. 04 hundred hours. Clear. 35 degrees. Good morning. 05 hundred hours. Clear. 35 degrees. Good morning. 06 hundred hours. Clear. 35 degrees.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
You're up early. KG8RUH.
Finally starting to feel human again, and you know, the fact that it's daylight at 6:30 is a little bit more motivating.
Yep, I hear ya. I was shocked this morning to leave the house and it's light out. It's awesome.
If we can just get the weather on board, I think spring's here.
It certainly looks like it, and it's supposed to be 67, excuse me, today, so I think you're right. I think it's here.
We were talking about it yesterday, and hopefully that was the last Mother Nature episode for the year. We can get on with our lives here and have some decent weather. How was Colorado?
Man, it was awesome. We did, we skied 3 days and fished one, and then on Sunday I fished in the morning and skied in the afternoon. It was pretty awesome.
Well, good deal. That's a nice little end of winter trip. Was that you transmitting? Anthony, you still there?
Did you get the red light to quit blinking?
Oh, man, that was a whole fiasco. I'll tell you about it in a second when I get out of the gas station.
Something you're getting.
At ADDF. NA DBF.
Hey, I'm back, Dakota. I had a little operator error there.
I was going to say, did you cook your radio?
No, I had a bad connection. I took my head unit out while I was gone, and then just now the mic wasn't plugged all the way in, and I thought it was.
Well, speaking of radios, I have your gear in my truck if you make it out at all this week. And, Wally, if you're still listening, oh, man, Motorola is such a pain. So I tried updating it, but it kept giving me service code 1101, accessory incompatible. I finally gave up, and I was going to just reflash everything, but I had already gone up to the highest firmware. The next firmware up required a subscription. I'm like, oh, that's not good. So I learned that there's a recover feature. So I transplanted the board from the old head into the new body, the new cosmetics of the control head I got from you, and then I recovered it. So now I'm on 22401, and everything's working. So not doing that again.
So 22401 is the newest you can go without a subscription.
From what I gathered, yes. I tried a 25 version, and it said no go.
Okay. You could push it via depot, but the problem is that once you do that, it's entirely different, and then you're never able to do anything different with the radio again because then they lock it and kind of encrypt it.
Nope, I'm content. No flashy red light. I'm good. Anthony, I've learned almost everything you can learn about a Motorola radio mobile, so at least on the XPR side. So you can bug me when you get yours.
What was the flashy light?
Mismatched firmware on the control head.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning, Anthony.
Good morning.
Some guy sold him a control head that didn't match his radio. Morning, Sean. Morning, Anthony. I probably should hand it to somebody. Go ahead, Sean.
So, firmware update. Took care of it, and he can use the same control head, or does he got to get a different control head?
The firmware update failed with the control head I got from Wally, so I ended up transplanting the board from the old control head into the new control head body I got, and then recovering it to 224, and all's well.
Oh, look at you go. Anthony?
Good morning. Dakota, it seems like you've taken on quite the project here in the last month and a half with all this Motorola stuff. You went deep on this. I know you were ordering that control head, or you didn't end up getting that one off eBay that you were looking at? I think it goes over to Wally, maybe, and then over to Dakota.
Yeah, I had a control head that I purchased, but all my radios were not E's, so it didn't like it. And mine was brand new, and I sold it to him for a lot less money. But I had the flashy light, but I read that the E wasn't compatible with the non-E. They said it'll work just fine, blah, 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 but a little OCD there kicked in, and it bothered me, just like it bothered Dakota. And who the heck wants a red flashy light? Sean, go ahead.
Okay, we'll go Sean, Dakota. So it would have been fixable for yours, or it never would have been fixable for the non-E's. And that's a question. What's the difference? If I'm kind of looking for one, maybe, sort of, kind of. What is the difference between the 50 and the 50E? Anything important? I guess now it goes to Dakota, then Anthony. From what I've gathered, not much. It's like the 7550 versus 7550E. It's got a better receiver. It's supposed to be louder and better audio, and I think that's probably about it. Cosmetically and physically, they're the same. It might have been fixed while Wally's. I don't know. Like I said, I grabbed my old board, which gave me the same error, so I'm pretty sure that I'll be able to, if I really cared, I'm just going to keep it for parts. If I really cared, I could recover the radio again with that other control head plugged in, and then I could probably get it all in the same version, but that's not going to do anyone else any good unless their radio's on that version. So if anyone else needs a 5550E control head, they'll probably have to do what I did.
It sounds like none of this is easy. You got to get in depth on every piece you add or take away. But I think with the Dakota, the 7550 to the 7550E, I think there is also extra level of waterproof and dustproof besides the operationally differences. I think goes to Wally, maybe?
Not really. As far as waterproof goes, at least I couldn't see it, and I've taken both of them apart. I couldn't see any difference. The biggest difference I saw was Wi-Fi. The E had Wi-Fi in it, and I don't know why you would need Wi-Fi in a DMR radio. Maybe Sean does, but you can't really program through it anyways, and I really wouldn't trust programming one of those things with Bluetooth, because once you air it, it's very tricky to repair it. So, you know, the other thing too, Dakota, make sure you back up the tuning data. I know a guy in a company that can fix it, but it's a pain in the butt to get it fixed, and it takes about a half hour. And but make sure you back up the tuning data on those if you mess with them too deep. At least have a tuner, and that's, you can download that also from your Motorola account as well. Sean?
Roger. Well, that's enough. What Dakota said is enough for me. I'm looking for an E, enhanced audio, and better receive. Heck yeah, I'll take that. But the waterproofing is on a handheld, it might matter, but doesn't matter so much on a mobile. If that's even, I don't know. But I've been looking at outfitting my personal car with. The object is to get three bands and two modes, and I want to do it with the minimum amount of radio I can, and I have not completely ruled out two Motorolas to get the job done. The single solution is still, very much in the play, but I have been looking at the opportunities in APX/XDR combos, and could go that route. I'm going to have to think long and hard about it, how much I give a crap in general. Ah, well. Dakota now. Aside from its quirks, which seems like all Motorola's have quirks, I've been super happy with the 5550E. And Wally, I restored the archive. Like, I didn't build the radio from scratch, so I don't know if the tuning data lives in there. But yeah, I know. I told Sean when I ordered it, I want to get it checked at some point just to make sure I don't cook the thing, because I have no idea where it came from or who had it or whatever. All I know is it was in decent shape. And I don't want to cook it. I was getting a little nervous last night when I kept, no matter what hat I put on, I kept getting the accessory incompatible service code 1101. I'm like, oh boy, here we go. But I was able to to pull through and get it working, and I think all's good now. Wally or Anthony, I don't know who's next, my bad.
That's all right. We're all, seems like we're all pretty bad at keeping the order today, or at least remembering who's next. I'll just give it over to Wally, because he probably has comment on what Dakota just said.
No, negative on the tuning data. It's not stored in the CPS. There's actually a program that says, I believe, next time you're there, look it up. It's called Tuner. Go ahead and back it up. Yeah, get it tuned. I mean, that's, you know, if you can get it tuned, you know, if the timing's right, you know where to go. But, and then save it. Because that way, if you do frog it up playing with it, because if you're like me, you can't keep your hands off of things. You know, we are, none of us here are, if it's not broke, don't fix it type. We're going to fix it and try to make it better. That's just the nature of who we are. But yeah, definitely back up the tuning data and all your stuff. And that works pretty good. That way, you know, if you do mess it up, you can just rewrite it and not have to take a trip to a radio shop. So, but yeah, Sean, you're talking about a dual Motorola solution. That's what's on my desk. XTL VHF and XPR UHF. That's what I have on my desk. And then I'm just using one of those $90 duplexers from DX Engineering. And that I'm very happy with that on my desk. So nothing wrong with that type of setup in your car. I'm pretty sure now it's Sean. Go ahead.
Yeah, it's an option to stay all blue. I've got, that's in the industry, we stay blue. I was thinking like an APX 7500, which is dual, I can get it in dual band, two bands. And since I need DMR on UHF, and I can get away with just P25 on VHF, I was thinking get an APX P25 VHF and 800 dual bander, and then just get the XPR UHF for for that, and then two radios covers, you know, VHF, UHF, and 800 P25. Now, granted, I won't be able to do my UHF P25 machine with that particular setup, but I can do TJ's machine, which is, you know, every bit as good or better. Better, actually. I mean, it might not be better for low-power handy stuff, you know, down in my neighborhood, but I'm not talking about low-power handy. I'm talking about a mobile, so I'm thinking that might be the way for me to go. But see, I got that extra component, you know, that most of you don't necessarily, you could, but you don't necessarily have a need for 800. I kind of do, so, I mean, I do and I don't, you know, so this is my personal vehicle, and, you know, all I would put in it would be the ARPSC, Central Michigan stuff, so I don't need it in my car, but I'd like it in my car. Dakota?
There are many, many choices. I was surprised that I was able to pare down to just UHF DMR, but so far I've not even remotely one time missed VHF, but I get where you're coming from. You've got friends in all places.
Yeah, they are sweet radios. I don't care. We picked up a nice dialogue yesterday with Ben and Nate. Okay, eight, I forget, that's it, MNN or something. He works up at a radio shop up north, and we were trying to get the R7 for John, KEWUO, trying to get his radio perfected. He picked us a lot of pointers, and he's really happy with that R7. I've got his R7 right now, and it ended up being just a bunch of settings. His had Asian software in it, Dakota, and full front panel programming. I mean, frequency, everything, color codes, DPL, PL, everything. You could go to any frequency you wanted, and that's a nice radio. but he didn't even know it had Asian software. He couldn't get it to take anything. And, well, he's downloading the stuff, you know, off the website legally, you know, the stuff that Motorola says. Well, it's compatible with the mismatches. And I was trying to tell him, I says, your audio problem isn't the firmware. I don't believe it's the firmware. His audio problem ended up being there's a tick box on your radio called intelligent audio. And if you take the radio into a loud environment, the radio gets louder. And it was really annoying for him. And sure as heck, I came back home. He killed me to look at it, and that was ticked on. But Ben was saying that on that radio, if you turn on the two gain controls and turn that off, he says he in his mind, that is by far the best DMR radio out there for a handheld. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, guys, I just pulled up at the office. I will be listening, and if I get a chance, I'll hop back in. This is K8RUH. Everybody have a good morning.
All right, I'll make it quick. See you, Anthony. Later, Anthony. All right, see if I got it. Yeah, so... as far as the you know, the VHF 800 dual bander with P25, that would give me the ability to monitor the P25 network through TJ's machine and some 800 stuff. But you're right, I can get away with UHF only easily. I do like to have the P25 though, seeing as you know I got that machine up. But really, UHF with DMR would solve most things. You know, then again. There are some bargains out there on some Kentwoods, but I'm not terribly impressed with the NX series Kentwoods. They were one of the first to do multi-protocol, and but in general, I'm not terribly impressed with that radio. But I don't know. I mean, you know, in our environment, would it work better? And I don't generally see problems popping up with the mobiles. The handhelds I see on, you know, going out for repair all the time, but the mobiles don't generally break. So I guess it's still an option if the right package came up, but then I'd be running around with Kentwood. Dakota? I mean, you guys are the ones that convinced me that Motorola was the way, and so far I'm not disagreeing at all. I don't know much about the Kenwood commercial stuff, but, you know, is it going to be better than Motorola? I haven't really beat the crap out of this radio, and I don't really know how you can beat the crap out of a radio other than the fact that it's portable every day. But they are quirky. And, Wally, that R7 is unfreaking believable. I was going to say earlier, the receiver on that is noticeably better than a 7550, and the audio is also... much, much, much better. I keep that intelligent audio off on all my Motorola stuff because I notice the same thing. I don't want the radio telling me what volume to set it at, especially with the R7 because it's got that second mic on the back of it. If you hear any sort of ambient noise, it'll amplify the crap out of it.
Yeah, and that's what was bothering him. So he just basically had everything ticked wrong, and I just re-ticked it. You could do it all from the front panel. And so I got all the audio taken care of from him. I just didn't want to push anything to it. I mean, this thing had a great feature, you know, that most amateur guys would kill for. And 30, I didn't want to take that away. And then the other thing, you know, when you start flip-flopping things, that's where the risk of a brick comes in. So, you know, and granted, you got to hope you can get it into flash mode and all the other stuff and, you know, and then have the tuner backed up and everything else like that. So it goes from there. Hey, Sean, that code plug that I sent you, I'm going to send you one more. I did not, in the personalities, I did not turn on the scan routines because I wanted to put the scan routines in on the ARP frequencies, and I couldn't get those to scan. So last night I turned those features on in the personality, but that's the only change. So I'm going to send you a version 4 as soon as I get done talking on the radio. R7. Yeah, I didn't really think I wanted one, but you've ruined me. Go ahead, Sean.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Well, there you go. So, I don't know what I'm doing for HQs right now. I'm just all focused on a mobile setup. So, but okay. I planned on looking at that when I got in and get that moving. If I like what we got, then we could just full steam ahead. So I'll wait for the V4 or whatever. And, I thought about it. I had my laptop with me. I forgot. I could do it in a virtual machine on my MacBook. I could have looked at that last night. As I was grabbing my laptop to go out the door this morning, I was like, oh, shit. I could have used that. And, by the way, when we were having that big discussion over on P25, there was a VE3. Listening to us, he just recently got himself a bunch of Astro Spectras, and he thought he had it programmed up, and he tried to jump in and join us, but I don't recall hearing him. So I told him, I says, well, check your settings, because you should be able to work it. So keep your eye out. There's a new VE3 guy that's got some radios, programmed them himself, figured out. And he's struggling to get him working. I haven't really talked to him, ask him if he's got the NAT code figured out. I would imagine he'd have to, right? And that 293 is the default, so I doubt that's the problem. But anyhow, FYI, VE3 listening to us trying to jump in over on P25. Dakota?
So if the B25 network is anywhere near as good as the VMR, if I get a VHF P25 radio, will I be able to play? And I was super anti-HT, thought they were useless toys until I started messing with the R7, when I could sit in my house at my desk and talk into Burnside, which is, I'd say, every bit of 15 miles away. I still don't understand how the hell that works. It must be in a great location, but... the fact that I can use HTs like with RF and not hotspots and nodes is a whole new thing for me, and I live even further out than I used to, so big fan, and I don't know that I could do that with I'm sure I could, but I don't know if I could do it as well with an amateur HT. But Wally, educate me on this P25 stuff, because I was perusing eBay the other day and came across some XTS 5000s for pretty decent prices.
Well, a couple things. If you want to play around with P25, I've got a whole bunch of Tate radios here. I can just give you one to play around with. I already got two out on loan. What the heck is three? The displays are a little wonky on them, but you only need two frequencies anyways. And the audio is by far the best. That is the best audio codec out there. You can carry on a conversation, and it would be like the three of us having lunch together. Marion is very critical of ham radio stuff and, static and DMR and the screechy and all the other stuff that happens, garbage in, garbage out on DMR or analog. P25, you have none of that. It is so natural, so clear, so it's almost like, wow. Marion says to me, she goes, well, why can't they all sound like that? And I said, well, it's the cost of admission to get into here. So, but yeah, it is definitely over the top. It will ruin you for the other stuff. Go ahead, Sean.
You've got to remember, though, it's a very niche thing. There's a small handful of us playing with it. So anybody who plays with it expecting like some big, lively, active, it'll go weeks without a peep, and then it'll have a little burst of big activity, and then it'll go weeks again, and, it's, the coverage up by you is probably going to be questionable. I'm not trying to discourage you. I just don't want to see people go out and invest in it and then just be totally disappointed because there's just not a lot of activity, or they don't have the coverage or whatnot. So that's a caveat. I highly recommend it, but, you know, just keep in mind it is what it is.
NADF. Yeah, I guess I'd have to see where the machines are at, because based off of the DMR network, I kind of know where I can and can't go. So if there's not anything due north of me or due south of me or due east of me, I'm probably going to be a no-go on that unless I roll around with an HD.
Yeah, and Macomb County, you know, like I said, what Chad said, I mean, you get it, and then it's quiet and quiet and quiet and quiet and quiet, and then all of a sudden everybody starts talking on it. Then it goes for a long time without it. It is a very niche protocol, and the coverage is not, you know, analog is or DMR is, and that's probably why it is. And then the other hiccup is, you know, you have to have an expensive radio. You're not going to go buy a $50 Bowfinger and get there. So, and then you have to know what you're doing. You know, there's a lot of things that are particular about it, but it is quiet for the most part, but it is pleasant, but it does get quiet. A little bit more laid back too, you know, like, you know, you pick it up and, you know, hey, Sean, you know, type thing. So that kind of thing is kind of cool, but definitely not for the guy that doesn't know how to program his own radios, you know, that type of thing. And there's a lot to it, you know, the network access codes and the talk groups, and there's a lot to it. And it's the strangest programming software you've ever seen. Start from the top and work your way down, right, Sean?
Sorry about that. Just had to stick my drink in my cup holder and switch over to Mount Clemens. But, it's funny because every time somebody asks me about P25, I sound like I'm discouraging them, and I'm not. You know, I just want the expectations to be right. It is definitely a niche thing. I wouldn't be without it. I love it. And, you know, the group of guys that are up there is a kind of a select group of guys that are working in the business, guys that like to tear their radios apart and swap boards inside them to get past firmware mismatches and things. That's the kind of guys that are out there. No, I appreciate the honesty and the setting of the expectations. I didn't think it was going to be anything like the DMR. Like, it is pretty cool that I can roll into work in the morning on analog and then come home and talk to a whole separate group in the afternoon on DMR. Not really a totally separate group, but different people. I wouldn't mind just having a P25 radio to say, dude, just to, you know, like we always say, get the T-shirt, and I'll be damned if I have someone else program my radio. So that is part of radio that I really enjoy, is learning how to program them. Like we talked about the other day at lunch, that's half the battle, is figuring out how to use your crap. So I would be interested just for that, and I'll keep my eye out. I got to talk to Anthony too. I think he might have a couple. The machines are VHF or UHF?
The big boy is VHF. Sean has one in Warren. It has a respectable coverage. And then there's also a 900 megahertz one in Mount Clemens. And then the other thing, the transmitter, and this is the hiccup with the transmitter. One transmitter is in Detroit, and the other transmitter is in Warren. And the one that's in Mount Clemens, you have to have a real special radio to get at that puppy. So that's the expectation part. You know, for somebody like Sean or myself who live here, you know, we kind of take it for granted. For you, you know, that could be part of the disappointing part. Sean.
Yeah, TJ's got a machine. It's really high up. It's in downtown Detroit. He's got satellite receivers in Southgate, Novi, Mount Clemens. So he's got satellite receivers. And there are other machines throughout the state that the that the Central Michigan guys have put up. They're all linked. So if you're traveling, there's a fairly good amount of P-25 on VHF. Phil is currently borrowing my handheld. And he, by the way, he's been pretty impressed with how DJ's VHF machine works up there in Sylvan Lake. So when he's done with that, or if you get one from Lolly, you know, we can get you into something. I don't know how a handheld's going to fare up your way. It's hard to say. So, but anyhow, like you say, it's a thing. Love to have you there. But boy, the last thing I want to be is the guy that eggs you on to get there, and then you kind of go, what the hell is he talking about? So there's that. But, my parking space is available. Yay! W8FU. Well, if it's anything like the analog Detroit machine, I know I'll be able to hear it, that's for sure. Whether or not I'll be able to get into it, that's another story, but I'm pretty sure, that's with my big antenna, but I know I can get into it with, like, 2 watts with my 705. And I've gotten into it with a mobile up in Imlay City. So, I don't know. I'll keep looking around, screwing around. I like toys. It's no big deal. It's not like I wouldn't be able to move it along if it didn't work out. But with that being said, I still have a bunch of radios that I haven't sold on the bench, so maybe not.
Sean, I gotta step out for a bit. WADD. Was it my turn?
Wally said he had to step out, so I don't know. It's no one's turn. I was just driving.
All right, I just walked in and switched over to the Cisco, so. Been getting in a little few minutes ahead of normal.
Forgot to even mention I have that repeater in my back seat, so maybe we'll be able to link up this week sometime.
Yeah, we can either do a lunch or I can deliberately. Like, where are you at right now?
Uh, 23 in Garfield, so I'm a little bit behind you today, but tomorrow I think I could get out of the house earlier and just meet you on Hall Road somewhere, or like you said, we can grab lunch one day this week.
Yeah, we'll figure it out. Anyhow, second consecutive day of salted caramel iced coffee.
Oh, so you're a fan.
Yeah, thanks. My doctor is not going to be happy with you.
I know. I haven't even looked up the nutrition facts on that. I don't really want to.
Honestly, I don't think it's going to be that bad, but that could just be me sticking my head in the sand.
It all depends on what's in that cold foam.
It is tasty, isn't it?
After we talked about it yesterday morning, I ended up getting one. Might do the same today.
Yeah, I guess they can make it a hot brew as well. So there's that. I tend to be a hot drink guy with my coffee, but I'm kind of enjoying this. I enjoyed it yesterday, and I'm going to have another one here today. So I'm just straightening things out here. I run all my virtual machines off of an external SSD on my Mac, and so I got to plug that in. I got myself a 2 terabyte solid-state SSD, a really, really fast one.
thing's amazing. It's like having a big hard drive. But, you know, you got to pull out the cord and hook it up, do my Time Machine backup on it and all that. If I could just get the programming cables to work with the Mac silicone in a virtual machine, I'm not convinced I can't, but I haven't got it working yet.
I remember you telling me that's how you run them, and that's super clever because the frequency I need them, that would not be a bad thing to just have plugged into my docking station at the office. So if I do need to pull it up, I don't have to do anything. It's already there. And if you figure that out, let me know because I've battled with it on a few different radios and finally just said to hell with it. I'm not even going to waste my time anymore. It'd be really nice if I could program my radios at the office, but then I run into the issue with entitlement IDs and all that crap for these things, so it's probably not even worth it.
So I have a old 2013 MacBook Pro that is worthless for Mac OS anymore, and it's just finally so long in the tooth. Nothing's got like a terabyte in it, at least. I was thinking about just making that into a Windows machine. That one always worked beautifully. I never had any problem at all with the serial ports and that, but it's Intel-based, right? So I was thinking about making that MacBook my Windows machine. And then this one here, I could, I can run the programs perfectly fine, and I can, you know, if I want to work on an archive or something like that, no problem. It's just, if in order to program it, I got to send it over to some other machine. So, well.
I don't think that's just a Mac issue either, because I've got some Windows machines that are ARM-based in my fleet. And I have all kinds of driver issues with scanners and printers and wirelessly casting to displays. Like, it's just a different beast, and it's just not mature yet. And the world's built on 64-bit Windows, right? That's what everything's geared towards, that's the majority. So you get into the ARM stuff, and it just doesn't want to play nice. And I'd be curious how that 2013 Mac did with Windows, because if it's running Mac slow, their Mac OS flow, which it's optimized for, it's probably going to chug pretty good with Windows. But that's not to say that Apple's not deliberately throttling it to make you upgrade, because that's something they do as well.
No, it's not that it's slow. It runs perfectly fine. It's just that you can no longer get it upgrade. And then a lot of the software, it's no longer supported. So there are some softwares that I ran that won't run on the version that I can run. It runs perfectly fine. It's a perfectly fine MacBook, and you can live with, you got all your basics, but there's a lot of, like, specialty things that I had that no longer will run. mostly it's been small things that aren't that important, but there are things now that will no longer run, right? And it's going to be more and more. Eventually, I use Dropbox, let's say, and eventually they're not going to support, Sierra, or whatever the heck it is I run on that one. And, it's just like, okay, you can't run that anymore. But the machine runs fine. And I was running Windows 10 in a virtual machine on that thing, and it was fine. It was absolutely fine. So it's got enough power to run it in a virtual machine.
Oh, you'll be fine then. I've seen Windows on worse devices. What is it, an i5, an 8 gig?
Oh God, I'd have to look it up. It's been so long. I was reluctant to give that machine up. I just found enough things no longer could run on the version of Mac OS that it was stuck at, and one of them, I forget what software package it was. And I said, okay, it's time for me to, you know, retire this thing. And right at that time, Anthony came up with a smoking deal on a MacBook Pro. I've got it, you know, but it's a silicon, you know, it's a Mac silicone base. It's like an M2 or something, or an M3. And, you know, it's gorgeous, right? I love the thing. And I'm running my virtual machines on it, no problem. And, you know, the problem, of course, is the USB ports, right? So that makes the virtual machines, for us at least, somewhat, it's not as useful as I need the virtual machine to be. So there's that.
I did something similar with a Gen 3 X1 Carbon i5 16 gig. Great machine, just got tired. Couldn't really hang with Windows 11 that well. So I ended up just putting, mine's got Kali Linux on it, which is just a toy at this point. But it's unfortunate that there's no radio stuff for Linux, and I hate to be that guy who's like, oh, yeah, Linux. But you want to talk about OS that runs on a turd. I mean, you can do anything with that and put it on anything, and it'll work just fine. But on that note, I'm backing into my spot here. I'm going to clear out and get inside. So maybe I'll catch you this afternoon. I'll listen out at 8 PDF.
Yeah, good timing. I need to get going here. So I just figured I'd drive with you for a bit. All right, we'll talk. WAFU.
Chirps on Linux. EBY.
Can I program my APX 8000 with Chirp?
Well, you have to try. I got CPS 16 on running under Wine, but from what I hear, it's not able to actually program the radio, but I do have it running. I haven't tried to program a radio, but a little bit of research I did, sounds like it's pretty hard to do.
Yeah, I don't know where you jumped in the conversation, but that's exactly what we were talking about. I'm doing VMware virtual machines. I've got a Linux virtual machine, which I rarely use, and then I've got a Windows, I think it's a Windows 11, 10, 11, I think maybe even Windows 11, which, yeah, I run everything. I got no problem running any software at all in that virtual machine. But the problem, of course, is the syrup, you know, is the USB ports. You know, if I can't use the programming cables, then it's of little use.
Connected to CMN network.
Yeah, I've got the dual boot on my laptop. I did the unsupported 111 upgrade, and yeah, I stay in Linux as much as I can, and then if I need to load a code plug in the radio, I'll flip over, but it's obviously not ideal. It's time for a new laptop, but I think it works great on Linux. It's just that Windblows decided that they're not going to support it, even though it meets the minimum requirements.
Well, like I said, we need to figure out if there's a way. I'm not totally convinced I can't get the serial ports working, but that's just stupid guy bravado. I don't have any technical expertise, you know, or reason to believe that that's the case, but I just got this feeling I can figure out how to get it working. But we'll see. That's the big goal. If I could get that working, oh, I'd be in heaven. And I just, it was great on my Intel-based Macs. And I actually thought about looking for one of the very, very last. That's what Greg did. He went out and got himself like one of the very, very last MacBooks that was Intel-based. I think that's what he did. And I thought about doing that, but talking to a couple of other people, they said, get yourself get the Mac silicone. It's just light years better. And it is, you know, in certain respects, but when it comes to this stuff, not so much. So it's the old, you got to keep a Windows machine around. All right, I got to get to it here. It's the bewitching hour. Travel safe, and I'll be listening if it's really important. WAFU.
Yeah, my skin starts to crawl when I start playing with the Mabel hardware. I need some no help there. I'm not familiar with it. I don't know if Fred has anything that he's a Mac guy. But anyway, 7381.
Hey, Sean, you're still there?
Good morning, 0800 hours. Clear. 35 degrees.
Possibly Yankee. Signal report.
You're connected to CMN Network.
KCAKJL.
Good morning, Tom, TEWOJ. Morning, Rick. Hello, young man, how are you today?
Oh, I'll let you know about 4:30.
Yeah, I got you too early to tell. Well, good. You sound good. I hope you're finally rid of all the nastiness that was running around there.
Oh, definitely. Much better. Much better. You know, the headaches are far and few between, you know, the stuffiness and everything. It's just usually that time of year, but I've been working in some real dusty places, so it really hit me hard.
Well, I'm glad it's getting better. I got to say, I got kind of lucky myself. I've been here many years, actually 41 years. I've been in pain from a back surgery that didn't go so good. And other things going on, and went to a pain clinic yesterday, and the guy gave me this ointment, and I put that stuff on yesterday, and my God, I'm almost a normal person again. It's just, I was late getting up this morning to feed the cats and talk to the guys on the way to their way to work, because I'd slept so good.
So is this stuff over the counter, or is it a prescription type of?
Morning,
Jeff.
And ointment.
Yeah, it's a prescription ointment. It's, what is it, lidocaine and prilocaine together. And I tried the lidocaine before. It's kind of okay, but it's not as good as this stuff. I just didn't think it was possible. I almost feel normal. I almost feel good.
Hey, if it works on the joints, why not? You know, I should get some of that. Not the percent. I'm going to try lidocaine for my shoulder. I got to, when he gets irritated, it really bothers me.
Well, there was a signal there, but no audio. Yeah, the lidocaine works. There's 4% lidocaine, which is over-the-counter. You can get that at drugstores. And then the prescription stuff is only 5%, 1% stronger, but it does work better. You can get the patches where you can put on over it kind of thing, and it'll, you know, stay there as long as you don't rub the patch off or whatever kind of thing. And then they got ointments, and usually it's not too bad.
Let's see. Sorry about the chunk.
Oh, no problem, Kerchunker. Good morning, KCKJO.
Yeah, good.
Well, I just had to jump in, say good morning. I wanted to make sure this HT connected to the outside antenna was making it into the Durand part of the whole system. And, you know, say good morning. I haven't jumped in and said good morning to anybody for a couple days anyway. But I guess I'm going to draw a blank. Is the other gentleman's name Walt? And then Tom, of course. I don't know. I'll just throw it in the air, and whoever wants to take it, take it. Anyway, I'm glad you're feeling better, Tom. And hey, Zedzi.
And finally, this weather's breaking. That'll help me out a little bit. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, I apologize. I guess I doubled with the other fellow. I thought I had it there, so I'm sorry about that. Anyway, I was saying that I got these gut problems going on, too, so I've been 6 days. I'm working on day six now with no food, so... The gut's feeling a whole lot better. So between that and getting rid of the other pain there, I actually might wander down to the lake and go fishing. TEWOJ.
Let's see if I got it here real quick. Okay, sounds like it. My apologies for butting in, so maybe I should have waited the acknowledgement or something. But anyway... And it's Rick, not Walt. I don't know. Is there a Walt out here, too? Then again, I'm thinking I need another cup of coffee. I thought two strong cups were going to work today, but apparently not. Oh, well. I'll hand it over to Tom. N8ZC.
No problem. There ain't nothing wrong buttoning in. I do it to Sean and Wally all the time. They'll be chit-chatting, and all of a sudden I'll just jump in there and give a sarcastic comment or something like that. They're like, ah, there he is again. Yeah, no big deal. And I said, I do it. And plus, you know, here on the Central Michigan and FBI, you know, we all get along and all just bounce around with everybody. So it's a good roundtable discussion, as always. Rick.
Yeah, you ain't butting in, Kerry. Don't worry about it. And I got to slow down. I sometimes don't give enough time in between for people to break in there. So I gotta work on that. Kerry, go ahead.
Oh yeah, I sometimes get a little quick on the key, especially then I turn around and gotten used to DMR, and I come over here on analog, and it's like, wait a minute, it's a little different here. Where's that startup, you know, talk permit tone? And I kind of get myself a little confused, but yeah, you know, here in Shiawassee County, it's kind of a dead zone. What hands we do have, either just don't bother with the repeaters, or they're over there on D-Star, which I hate D-Star, but I'll leave it at that. And then, you know, I discovered you guys down there in the southeast corner of the state, there on DM. And there's that timeout timer's telling me it's not working, so I'm going to shut up here. So, back to you, Tom.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
check your timeout timer in the program, Harry. You might only have it set it for 60 seconds. You put it at 180, then you should be golden. That's what all mine are set at.
Yeah, I think I did the same as Tom, 180 or a little over. I think, if I remember right, most of the repeaters are like a three-minute thing, so, you know, 180 is 2 minutes, so I think I might even have went a little more than 280, but anyway, I did the same thing when I first got the radio, so I have to deal with it after that.
Well, the software says 180 seconds, because that's usually what I do, too. But I just went into the analog side for this lovely Baofeng. That's a 32. And it's not a bad little radio, but, it's, you know, it is what it is. But it showed 60 seconds, so let's see what happens. I changed it manually here in the radio and put it to 180 seconds, so hopefully that'll be better and stay put now. But who knows? Yeah, I've been dreaming about another mobile radio I can use here at the desk instead of using HTs to the external antenna outside, but you know, because I'm not that far away from Durand, and I'm real close to the MI-5 statewide one here, Bancroft Link. But yeah, Durand's probably, I don't know. The repeaters where they're at might be 8 miles as the crow flies, so hopefully I'm doing all right. I don't want to be obnoxious and noisy either, other than my mouth running. Go ahead, Tom,
NHZC. Well, if you want a decent off-brand mobile for UHF, VHF, DMR, get that TYT MD9600, and that does pretty good. I think, what's the mobile? What's the other one? Natone 878 or something like that. Me, I have a Yaesu, an Alenco, and a semi cutting in front of me. And then I have two Motorolas. I got an XPR 4550 that I use in my one vehicle. And in this vehicle here, I have a XPR 5550E that I use for UHF and DMR. You know, so they got a pretty good market on them. Fairly priced too, and they're easy to program once you get used to it. KC and KGO, go ahead, Rick.
Well, Tom, I knew too you were going to give Gary a lot of good recommendations on there, and I was glad. I could remember 9600, but I couldn't remember who was making it. Anything. But anyway, I just wanted to tell you that, you know, your travels all around the state there, and apparently all the different radios you use, almost sounds like you got a different one every day. You always sound good, you know, unless it's analog and you're out at the end of the string, of course, but the rest of the time, and every time I talk to you in DMR, no matter where you are in the state, you always sound rock solid there. So. And Gary, I have, I'm using right now a Anytone 578. I think it's a UD3 Plus or something like that. It's a little pricey, but it's a very nice radio. But anyway, it's give you something to shop around and compare with, you know, compare features and goodies there. Gary, go ahead.
I'll be right back, guys. Got a phone call. KCKJL.
Hey, ZC, are you still there?
Kilo Echo 8, Foxtrot Lima Yankee, radio check.
Stand by, radio check. Rick, somehow he ended up over on 147.2. Don't know how that is. I'll tell him. NAWRO.
Well, Oh, gotcha. I'm on the KC8LTS in Detroit here, so there must be something going on with the links. The breaker, go ahead.
That wouldn't surprise me, because this radio is something I beat on the other half, so I bet you I did, so I yammered on the wrong one. Sorry about that.
NAWRO. Well, we did have some issues.
Okay, did I lose you guys? Oh, I messed up. And then locked up the radio, so I'm on the other one. And he's dead sick.
Good morning. 0900 hours. Clear. 35 degrees. Connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Bravo 8, Whiskey Tango Alpha Portable.
You're connected to CMN Network. Good morning, 1000 hours. Clear. 35 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. Good morning, 1100 hours. Clear. 35 degrees. Good afternoon, 1200 hours. Clear. 35 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon, 1300 hours. Clear. 35 degrees.
So the haircut guys tell me that I just missed you. WAPD.
Currently connected to CMN Network.
Kilo Bravo 8, Whiskey Tango Alpha Portable.
Connected to CMN Network.
Station calling, this is KB8WTA, how copy?
This is KF8FJH, I can barely get any copy on your signal. You're coming in very bad.
Yeah, I figured as much, but I figured I would try it anyway. Okay, 7-3 and happy hunting. KBAWTA clear.
7-3, KS8, FJ8. I will now be clear.
Good afternoon. 1400 hours. Clear. 35 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Good afternoon. 1500 hours. Clear. 35 degrees. Connected to CMN Network.
Yoda Leahy. Yoda Leahy. Who? Who? Who dat? Who? Who dat? This be W8FU.
KE8RUH, what's going on?
Oh, man, look, the stoners have already hit the poles in front of the Jars Cannabis store.
Never would have guessed it. You're telling me that things impair driving and then you run into stuff?
Yeah, they put these posts in all around this place. You know, just super high security, I'm guessing, and prevent the truck driving into the place and busting through the walls. But they've got two big poles near their sign. Somebody whacked one of them, bent it right on over, smashed up their covering on their sign, and oh well. Oh, gnarly.
Yeah, I've seen that around the around those stores before, that they put them up so they can't do the smash and grabs. I don't know if those are still all cash businesses or what, but if there's that much cash in one of those places, I can see why they would make it rather secure.
You know, when it first started out, it was lucrative. And I don't know if it still is or isn't, but, God, there's so many of them. It just seems like it's lost a little bit of its... desirability, I guess, as far as, you know, going in the business.
Yeah, I've read a few things that it is now a saturated market, and it is far less lucrative than it once was.
Yeah, I don't know how you break into that market. I think all the typical stoner, you know, stuff has been done. You know, like, you know, how many takes on buds and other silly things. What's the one that's there's a big one in Centerline, and it's got one of them goofy names.
Yeah, I don't know. They all have some catchy name of some sort. I don't know the one that you're particularly talking about, but they all do their best to market. That's for sure.
Okay, I think FGS monitoring. Tasty Buds, and I'd have a big picture of Spicoli.
Yeah, I think most of them are... There's something catchy to them. There's a famous person, or a notable person, or a catchy name or something.
Now let's see here. Do I want to go get a Diet Limeade? And the Sonic up here by me is just absolutely horrible as far as service goes. They are so slow. But it's happy hour. So if you're anywhere near a Sonic, get half off drinks. So you can get that great big Route 44 Diet Limeade is what I get. Great big old 44-ouncer for like $2.
I bet that's nice and tasty. I try to avoid all those kind of drinks and as much as I can, but every once in a while it'll get you something delicious.
Well, it's the diet Limeade, so, you know, zero sugar, zero calories, and so just trying to get around some semis that are jacking everything up here on Grosspec. So, you know, it's a lot of ice, you know, I don't have a lot of people like, oh, you know, look, little ice, I haven't put the full ice in, so it's probably, you know, it's 44-ounce drink, but, you know, 20 ounces of it's probably ice.
Yep, most likely. I don't know. They like to dilute everything they give you with as much ice as possible. It's a lot cheaper than putting the actual drink in there.
And I can't imagine that ain't almost pure profit. I mean, a couple of squirts of flavor. Maintenance on the machine, that's about it. Water bill. Just can't imagine that they got a whole lot into the average fountain drink.
Yeah, I would imagine the cost of the cup, lid, and straw is 10x what the actual drink costs.
That reminds me, Starbucks has this thing where if you bring your own cup, they'll give you like triple stars or something like that. So I'm big into the star collection thing. So on double and triple point days, I go in, you know, and don't use stars and stuff like that. I've always got a pretty healthy amount of stars. They don't expire anymore, which is good. I used to get mad because I used to accumulate them so fast, but they would expire, you know, and it's like I'd always be on the cusp of losing, you know, losing it. the birthday drink was another one. It was like good for one day, your birthday. I'm like, come on. Can you give a little window? I think they've increased that to like 5 days or something or whatever. But, well, another bonehead driver here I got to get around. Now I forgot what I was getting at there. Who knows?
You're talking about collecting all the stars at Starbucks, and I go in waves where I care and don't care about collecting them. Most of the time I go in there now, I go in so infrequently that I just pay for my drink and get on my way. But I have went through phases where I collect as many as I can.
Yeah, when I used to make the regular trip to Houston, I'd bank all my stars, and then I would use them on the drive to Houston, and I'd have free foo-foo drinks on the way out there. I could load them up with caffeine for the cannonball run because it was about 22 hours door to door, and that's not including that's just pure drive time. That's not including any stops or whatnot. So I'd try to get as much as I could. I'd get up at 0:30, get on the road, because I can drive in the dark when I'm fresh and just getting on the road. I can do that for an hour or two. So I could, but what I don't like is after I've been on the road for 10, 12 hours, driving in the dark. And it was later in the year always, for the one trip, so thing around Thanksgiving. So, it was getting dark a little earlier, and I didn't like driving when I was really tired and I'd been on the road all day and then it got dark. But I would try to burn just as many miles as I possibly could on that first day. Usually I'd get deep into Missouri if I went that route, or I'd get almost to Memphis if I went that route. And then that would make a shorter drive the next day. But that required caffeine, is my point.
Oh, yeah, that would require quite a bit of caffeine.
Oh, yeah, and that's where the stars come in handy because, you can get, give me a grande latte with six shots. They'd have to honor it. Now I notice that the any handcrafted beverage up to $10. So I think I can still get a five or six shot latte for under that.
Man, five or six shots, that's quite the hit of caffeine. I would imagine if you did that two times, three times in a day, you could get quite a few miles under your belt.
Well, like I said, it was about 22 hours door-to-door, not including stops and everything like that. For day one was like just pure drive. Very, very fast stops if I was going to make stops at all. I would tend to get, almost to Memphis. I could get to Memphis, but pretty easy, but I didn't want to stay in Memphis. So I would stay just outside and, just a little bit outside of Memphis. I planned it out. So it's like, okay, so I'm going to stay just long enough so that when we get up and hit the road, I'll be in Memphis right about breakfast time because there's a place we really like there. We'd go to the Blue Plate Diner downtown. And same thing, Missouri. I tried to get as far deep into Missouri, stopped just shy of Oklahoma because no one wants to do Oklahoma ever. But you don't want to do it at night, for sure, because, well, it's Oklahoma.
Yeah, those flat, boring states are brutal to drive through on long trips.
You know, I've never been out on the Great Plains, you know, with the mountains in the distance or anything like that. I've heard that's really something. The Dakotas and all that stuff, so I've not done that. And I've never been to the Rockies, let alone the other side of them. In any way, flying, well, I've never flown anywhere, so that's a given. But I've never been driving. I've never been to the Rockies, so certainly not beyond them. And it is a bucket list item. When I retire, I'll probably plan a trip where I lollygag around the western states.
I was in the Rockies yesterday, literally.
Yeah, I knew you went out there, and I didn't hear you yesterday, so I was wondering if you were out of town. So was this a hunting or skiing?
Just outside of Denver. So our hotel was in a city called Silverthorne, which is just on the other side of the Eisenhower Tunnel. And we fished on the upper Colorado River and skied at Copper Mountain. So we were about an hour and a half, 2 hours from the city of Denver at any given point. And it was, we had some pretty good weather. We lucked out, pretty good spring ski conditions and pretty good fishing. So had quite the trip.
Very nice. So, when did you get in?
I got back at around 11 a.m. yesterday morning. We took the early the early morning flight out of Denver, and so had quite the long day yesterday. We drove from Silverthorne into Denver at about 2 a.m. Mountain Time, and got back to Detroit at 11 o'clock Eastern Standard. So yesterday was a long day.
Yeah, I can imagine. I can imagine. So, well, that's cool. Sounds like fun. And kind of a long day, but you had a good week. But you had a good trip. So, yeah, very cool. I didn't know you were leaving, so I didn't catch that if you had mentioned it. I don't ski. The fishing would be cool, but I haven't skied. I don't know if I would be any good at it. I'm kind of a chicken when it comes to that kind of stuff, so don't know if going out there and staying on the bunny hill would really be worth it.
No, you know what I say is if you've made it this long without learning how, I definitely think it's a young man's game. It's high risk, high reward, but, you know, at this point, any one of us is, I would say, too old to start learning it. It's just, there's too many things that can go wrong. But you were saying it'd be neat to be driving west and be coming up to the Rockies. I've driven out several times, and it is absolutely amazing. I can remember one time driving to Montana through the Dakotas, and you're hundreds of miles away, and you can see off in the distance that there's mountains.
W-8-R-I-T, go ahead, John.
All righty, I will. But, yeah, I hear that when you're out there in the Great Plains and all that, in the flatlands, you gaze upon the mountains for hours as you're driving towards them. So there's that. Go ahead and fit it in there. Pass it over to Anthony.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. It's Dave, W8RAT. He's been riding along with the conversation. And yeah, I remember when I came back with my sister, we drove back from Denver for my father's funeral. And it was a time when everybody in Denver was, the talk of the town was the snowstorm coming. And, well, being due to the fact that they're in Denver, and you know, I'm from Michigan, I didn't think that they didn't know what they were talking about. So, yeah, sure enough, when we had left that day, it was pretty bad. It was, well, when we left, it wasn't too bad, but we got up, took I-80 across. We got over towards, Montana or Wyoming, I can't remember which we drove through. And then the snowstorm came, and then later we got over towards Iowa, very small up and down hills. It was super icy. My sister and I, we stopped in a rest area during the night, and we were both very, we shut the door of the U-Haul that we were driving back, and there must have been 3 to 4 inches of ice on the front of the cab of the U-Haul that just dropped off and scared the bejesus out of us. But I recall driving where it was, you know, very, very icy, and maybe the spot about 3-4 miles distance on both sides of the freeway, there must have been 50 cars off in the ditch. So I'm saying, well, we can just take it nice and slow, because I'm in no hurry to end up off in the ditch and wait myself or anything like that. But let me ask you gentlemen this question. What state that you've already been through or to would you like to go and return to? Anthony, you've been there, and then that would be my first choice, I think. I think I would like to go back to Colorado. Anthony, let me flip it over to you. W-A-R-I-T.
Oh, I don't know which one I would go back to. There's a bunch of them. But I think I'm up to maybe 35 of the 50 states. I'd have to actually count, so I would probably be trying to check off new ones unless I was going for a specific reason, you know, to ski or fish or something like that. So I don't know which one I'd go back to, but I'll throw it over to Sean.
Yeah, so I haven't been to a ton, but probably more than I'm thinking, but like I said, I haven't been anywhere out west, and none of the Great Plains states or the Dakotas or the Pacific Northwest, which I'd love to go to, and got to see California and all that. But of the places I've been, there's something to be said about most of them. I mean, I love Tennessee, I love some things in Texas. I can tell you the ones I wouldn't want to return to, you know, like that's a lot easier. I was surprisingly, pleasantly surprised with Alabama in around Birmingham. I really like that. But I'd have to, what would I go back to? Probably New Hampshire or Vermont, one of those two up that way. I'd have to, I always get confused over which one's which politically. But, New Hampshire or Vermont, probably, if I was picking.
Okay, that would probably be a little bit towards my second choice, because I'd like to head back to New York. I've been to New York City, but I'd like to see a little bit of New York State. My sister's been up, about 10 to 15 years or so ago over in the Finger Lakes, which is basically just along Lake Erie. She really seemed to like that part, a lot of nice ravines and then, you know, some smaller waterfalls she went to. So I think what she would describe, that would be pretty nice. And, yeah, I would like to get back out west again. I had, when I was younger, I was in scouts, and we went out to Philmont out in New Mexico, New Mexico, over Kit Carson's area. And I'd like to get back out there again. I've been out to Arizona for the Grand Canyon. And, yeah, I like that a lot, but I kind of like a lot more of the greenery, I guess, maybe. Trees and forestry, I guess, more. So, well, Sean, maybe that leads to the next question. What state have you been to that you would not like to return to?
and I better be kind of quiet with this one here, but that would be for our southern neighbors, Ohio. although I'll be heading down there kind of shortly here for Dayton. I've never been through it, but I've heard that Arkansas has driven down to Texas, and yeah, it's basically the armpit of the nation. But yeah, I think I'm kind of like you. Not to mention, it's kind of nice to go back to places that you've been to before, but I'm kind of like your idea there too, that there's others that I have not been to that I would like to say I've planted my foot. I don't know how many different cities I've been to. I probably would estimate about half, about 25, so I'm about halfway there, so two more to go. See, I don't know. Yeah, it's kind of weird. Pacific Northwest, you say there, Sean. I don't know if that would be so much of my part there. It just seems to me that would be kind of damp and dreary, you know, a lot, so that doesn't really seem to strike a bell at me so much. Although, probably a little more for the flora and the fauna. You know, some of the nature would be kind of nice, but the climate for Washington State, yeah, I think I'd pass on that. Anthony?
If I had to pick one to not go back to, it would probably be, like, Nebraska or Iowa. One of those long drive-through states. Just, you know, the only, in my book, the only purpose for them is to get to my ultimate destination most of the time. So that's probably, one of those two would be on the top of that do not return list. But I am pulling up to the house here, so it was great talking to you gentlemen this afternoon, and I will be clear. I'll listen out. K-E-8-R-U-H.
Currently connected to CNN.
Repeater drop, Warren drop, but I caught it all over on Mount Clemens. See you, Anthony.
Okay, 7-3 Anthony. Have a great day. We'll be back until later here. Yeah, I'm just making my way back home. And, next 96. Well, I tell you, I'll be happy as heck when they reopen the entrance ramps from 696 to northbound, because I gotta take alternate routes there, and it seems every route that I take, everybody else has to pick. I'm picking theirs, and they're picking mine, so. Yeah, I thought they had said before, be like mid-April, but no big surprise with the road companies here being behind schedule. I'm not really that surprised here. Well, let's see, I'll tell you one thing I would like to do. Well, this is really kind of way off. I wouldn't say in a bucket list, more of a fantasy, but it'd be kind of nice to maybe do a lot more mobile during some of the various state QSO parties, going through all the various counties. Now, there you have even more than 50. You got over, 3,000 or so. So, even many more.
Yeah, well, when I was saying the Pacific Northwest, you know, it's just I've never been there, right? And I have some family out there, so, you know, that's I'd like to get there and see it. There are things about it that intrigue me. I don't think it would be someplace I would necessarily want to live, but I do want to get there. You know, because you were asking where would you like to get back to, you know. It's like, well, there's a lot of places I haven't been that I need to see. You know, I've never been to California, you know, never been to Nevada. You know, so never been to Colorado. So, you know, like I said, never been to the Rockies or beyond. So, you know, all that out there I got to experience. And as far as you asked, I never really answered on the where wouldn't you go back. I understand what you're saying about Arkansas. Arkansas, the southern part, is just dreadful. That stretch running out of Memphis all the way to Little Rock is like is just, oh, my God, it's horrible. And, you know, and it's a little better from Little Rock to Texarkana, but,
but it's not great. But you get up in the north, you know, you start getting up a ways and you get into the Ozarks and all that. It's not horrible. The one that I did, Oklahoma, oh my God, you can have it. I got stories for Oklahoma I could write stories about that armpit. Sorry, Oklahomans.
And W8REC, if you could tell me, what is it that they don't like about Oklahoma? See if I can tell you my idea as far as Ohio. Basically, I just think Ohio is just kind of plant farmland. Not a whole lot down there for any kind of extraordinary, places to see, other than dates, but... You got, the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so there's a few things here and there, but overall, no. But that leads into something else, another kind of a bucket list as far as places I would like to be, or go to see, I should say. And that would be a lot of the various cities and states along the eastern seaboard for American history, anywhere from Philadelphia, D.C., Boston, do all that area, and then see some of the National Historic sites in that. So that would be kind of a little bit more of a bucket list to me. As far as that goes, we're doing kind of a, I think it's more urban. But I'll tell you, Sean, when I'd like to occasion, I'm getting a lot more, so I'd like to just keep it quiet and then enjoy more of the rural or nature more.
Well, two things there, and I'll save the one for last. But that's why I like New Hampshire, Vermont, because, you can have, a rustic, very, very nice eastern, kind of a feel. I forget which one's the libertarian one. I think that's, is that Vermont? And, and you're not far. Connecticut's really nice, too. I really liked Connecticut when I was there. So if I was gonna, I would never want to live in New York or, around there, but it wouldn't be bad being, an easy day's drive in the town, do something, and then drive home. It wouldn't be bad being, not far from New York City, but definitely wouldn't want to live in or terribly near New York City, that's for sure. So that's why I like that out there. Maine was beautiful. Massachusetts was really nice. I don't know if I could put up with their gun laws and the other various things, taxes and whatnot. But circling back, what didn't I like about Oklahoma? Well, oh my God! Let's start with the storms and the tornadoes and the fires and the critters and the views, earthquakes, the creepy windmills in the south coming out of, I got a bucket list of things. The weather, I couldn't even get into this. I tell you one day, I'll tell you the story about when I was out there picking up my son from Oklahoma. I had to bring him home. And I remember the weather report. I was trying to figure out what it was going to be like on the way home. And it was the only place in the world I ever saw that, tomorrow's forecast is fires. And I thought, what does that mean? And then I woke up and found out. Crazy. By the way, you're talking to a Buckeye here, a native son. So I don't disagree. Michigan, I think, is a finer overall state, from a purely natural perspective. Just, not that scumbag school in Ann Arbor. I had to get that in. But aside from that, it's a great school, by the way. Hold on. Aside from the fun school rivalry thing, Michigan's beautiful state and all that. They do have, Ohio is, like I said, it's mostly farms. Go south until you smell it, and then go, east until you step in it. That's Ohio. But you get down in the southeast where the West Virginia mountains start to, push into Ohio, and it's kind of pretty, kind of nice. We don't have anything like that, but in the grand scheme of things, Michigan's got it beat in spades as far as natural beauty.
W8RAT. Yeah, it's kind of like what your main mentioned, over towards the northeast, you know, Maine, New Hampshire, and all that. That would be pretty nice, too, especially during fall color season. But I think I'd kind of like it, too, just for the geography that's here, there, too. They got some up there, too. I don't know if they have a whole lot like they do in Colorado that they're milk calves or anything like that, but they got some areas there to do soda, S-O-D-A. I think there's like three of them here in Michigan, and I'm trying to think where the nearest one is. But, I mean, we've got, supposedly we have mountains here in Michigan, the Porcupine Mountains, which I've been to, and they're just big hills, if you ask me. I don't think they really even qualify for a mountain, if I were to define it. But I got one for you, Sean. Article some years back, and there was a young lady who went, but she lived in Lambertville, which you probably know is just north of the Ohio border here in Michigan. So she went to Ohio State University, and when she graduated, she came back to live in Michigan. She got a U of M managed license plate. So probably have the
rough on that last one, so you're end of roping there, but you'll have to tell me next time, you'll have to tell me the license. I got everything right up to you were explaining what the license plate said. I think you said the Michigan M and Moron, was that what it was? But whatever, you're getting pretty weak, so we can save it for next time. I'm home, just walked in. I'll let you finish out there and then say 7-3 for now. W8FU after yours.
Good afternoon. 1700 hours. Clear. 35 degrees. Connected to CMN Network.
KFA.QN. KFA.QN. Wyatt, you out there? This is KFA.KJO. KFA.KJO monitoring. As I always do.
How you doing?
Heading home, are you?
Yeah, not too far away.
86 miles from my QTH. So, where am I at? I'm somewhere on 69 East.
Well, that's not true. Your QTH is where you are. Maybe your home QTH. I'm hoping I can sling sharpened steel at thousands of plants.
That's what I meant. My KTH is somewhere here. I'm at Shepherd Road on 69. On my way home.
FCTH.
Yeah, that's the thing with your QTH, it's always where you are.
You know, I forgot half of them from not being on the radio for so long, so. I know there's QSY, I forgot what that is. I know 73, and my wife is 88, you know, husband kiss is. You know, so. So like I say, I'm on my way home. I'm on 69 eastbound, probably coming in the your neck of the woods.
Yeah, there's a whole bunch of those Q codes I didn't even really remember. But, yeah. It's funny when you're watching police videos from down in Florida, they use Q codes in their stuff, so. I know I've heard them say like QTH and stuff like that when they ask in their position, so it's wise to change the frequency.
Well, I'm just going to make myself a cheat sheet so I don't sound like an idiot.
You got to know QRZ that who's calling.
And I thought it was just a magazine.
What came first, the website or the QR code? Or the Q code?
Okay, I'm around Perry. That's where I'm at. I'm by the Duran Tower.
Duran.
You're in my neck of the woods there. N8ZC.
Yep, I'm just crossing over the Perry Owasso exit.
Well, I'm pulling in the driveway, so I'm going to say 7-3.
Sounds good. I'm on vacation tomorrow, so I'll probably be radio silent, but we'll see. KCK Joe. And it's at sea. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yeah, probably about right about now you're pretty close to where Morris would be. And I'd say if it wasn't for the trees, I'd wave at you. And I'm about a third of a mile north of 69 there, in the middle of nowhere. Well, somewhere, but Morris anyways. Anyhow. So, anyway, I just thought I'd jump in and say hi. Kind of deciding to wind it down here for the evening and think about dinner and whatnot, but sounds like you have a little bit of a road trip ahead of you. There goes that doggone timer out of the timer again. NHZC.
Yeah, I got the TOT again. Like, hello, you're talking too long. That's goofy. The one person I have not heard on the frequency lately is Wyatt. You know, he was out there, and then I haven't heard a hide nor hair from him for a bit, so hopefully everything's okay.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is with this radio. I set the timeout timer three times today, and it keeps reverting back to 60 seconds. Yeah, oh, well. Maybe I should just box this thing up and find a home for it. And scrape up a few more pennies and go buy a radio to sit here on the desk. Instead of this cheap HT. Oh well, by any tone, I got that on the DMR, and hot spot stuff, so yeah, I could just switch to that and call it a day, but then I'd have to hook it up to the outside antenna so I'm not noisy into the Duran machine. Back to you, any good seat.
Well, if you have the programming cable in the program, maybe upload it and check it out and then change it in there and then re-download it. If it's the DM32, I know that you have to do it, I think, for each channel, I think. Maybe try that.
I guess I'll have to go take a look, but yeah, the software says it's set to 180 seconds, but inside the radio after writing it back to the radio, it shows 60 seconds, so, and just like a couple other settings, just don't want to stay here either, so, I don't know, but anyway, what do you do? That's the one thing I've noticed with the software for this radio is it's kind of buggy. And after the new updates and stuff there a month ago or so, I thought maybe it would settle down, but nope.
Man, it's hard to say without taking a look at it myself. I mean, I got my 32 sitting here on the dashboard. Or in the front pocket on the dash. And then all my other ones are at home.
Yeah, you know, what the heck. Hopefully here I'll have to quit paying for heat and then I'll have extra money just to buy another radio. Call it a day. So I want to get, took my tower over. Do some antenna work, put the 2 meter dual bander antenna up on the top of that, take the TV over the air saucer thing down because everything's streaming now, so, and kind of switch places with the, where the dual band antenna is now, put the TV antenna on that, and that way this antenna, well, yeah, this antenna, there we go, will be at 40 feet, and I'll be heard for sure. Anyway, so I got some plans to do, but I'm just a wimp anymore when it comes to the cold, and the cold has just really gotten tiresome. I'm ready for warm. Not to mention my lawnmower, my lawn needs mowing too, so. Anyway, I'll quit yammering. Don't have much other than just to babble on. Back to you, NAZC.
Well, haven't you heard me on the radio? I just ramble on sometimes. Jump from one subject to another to another. I guess you call it squirreling out, but that's, you know, normal for me. KCK Joe.
Well, that is part of the fun of it anyway, but I don't know, kind of one of those things, I guess. Oh, so anyway, where did you have to go today to where you're driving down I-69?
Started off in Southfield at 9 Mile and Greenfield. Then went to Byron Center, took care of that, and then ended up going back to this one account that I've been at a couple other times. Finally getting it to work the way it needed to work, and that was at Ford Airport. And now I'm going home. I got a guy coming to pick up my cattle, my old Cadillac, a little bit after 7 o'clock. Get that out of there, get my cash. And then started ordering the parts for my police pursuit vehicle that I bought
I get a tie rod in and a couple O2 sensors. And it should be good to go.
Yeah, I heard you talking about the police pursuit vehicle the other day. And I don't think I quite caught what it was. I know it's an SUV of some sort, but yeah, that'd be kind of fun. I'd imagine you have all kinds of, how do I want to say it, plug-ins, places to put radios and all that. From the sounds of it the other day, that's exactly what you got. Because I know they have quite the electrical system in it, so, but, yeah, that ought to be fun.
It is a 2016 Ford Explorer Police Interceptor, and she's fully loaded. The only thing they took out is the mobile data terminal, you know, the laptop and the mount for the laptop, and the camera system and probably the radar, you know, but all the bells and whistles are on there, and that's why I got to get a new overhead. Excuse me, that's going to be about $1,200 to get it changed out to amber whites and then pull off all the Wayland red blues and cover them up with some lenses or something. It's a little bit of work in progress, but I'll get it done.
Oh, yeah. This should be a fun project. Then again, you could always, you know, just leave the lights alone and, I don't know, do something, could be like, you know, instead of a Ghostbusters ambulance, you could make it the, I don't know, ham radio pursuit vehicle or something. Oh, so what size engines do they put in those pursuit vehicles? Are they 5.0, or do they do something bigger?
Oh, no, it's just a Ford Explorer, so it's got the 3.7-liter or 3.5-liter V6, heavy-duty suspension, you know, heavy-duty brakes and all that on there. So she's a robust little thing. You can definitely tell the difference between a regular Explorer and a police Explorer because she's stiffer, and she hugs the road. You know, so it's not a big engine, but she's got some character, and she's got some pep in her step, let's put it that way.
Leave a little pause in there if anybody wants to join in, by all means. Huh, I guess I would have not expected it to be a V6. It's not a turbo, is it? But especially with it being a pursuit vehicle, I guess I was thinking it would be something, you know, big horsepower in it, you might say.
Hey, Joe. Oh, I don't know what the horsepower is in there. But she's a good cruiser, and like I said, probably could fit in there. Imagine putting a V8 in that thing, the whole front end would be squashed down, I swear. Well, V6, she's got enough power. She goes. It's not a turbo. I wouldn't have bought it if it was a turbo, because those go bad, and that's, you know, that's like a boat. Break out another 1,000. So just having the V6 in there, naturally aspirated, is all I need. You know, it's basically for, you know, for doing the ARP sets, you know, the SETs, and being deployed with ARPSC. Also, the back seat, it's got window covers on it, you know, the plastic shield, so I can roll the window down and my dogs won't jump out flat, you know, lay flat on the ground or something. So, she's multi-purpose.
Oh, nice. That'll be nice for the dogs. Have some room and whatnot. So, you said dogs. So, how many and what kind? I have a very spoiled, rotten Siberian Husky. Need I say anything more?
I have a 45-pound Australian Shepherd Blue Heeler mix. Then I have a 35-40-pound Brendel Mountain Cur Whippet. And then I have a 60-pound Black Lab Pit Bull.
Oh, nice. Yeah, they sound like good buddies. But then again, aren't all dogs? Well, some dogs barely qualify as dogs, in my opinion. But as long as they're over, you know, what, 5 pounds? 20 pounds? Yeah, 30 pounds? Yeah, no. You get my point. But anyway, yeah, no, yeah. Higgins, he just turned 5. Doesn't seem possible already, but got him as a pup from a rescue, and he's got a very strong will of his own, but I guess I probably wouldn't have it any other way. And now that the weather's getting warmer, I'm going to be looking forward to shedding season. Oh, I'll be brushing him 2-3 times or more a day again. Oh, well, what do you do? And 8 Zensi.
Yeah, the only one we have to worry about is the Aussie Heeler. She's a very furry dog. We like to call it ground effects. You know, she's got like the side curtains of fur. You know, so when we brush her all out, she's all soft and fluffy. You know, we call her Fluffernutter. And her name is Isabella, but we call her Fluffernutter. Or Wiggles. Because, I mean, she could turn her whole entire body into a U-shape. And it's goofy. She's, what, 11 now? Jeez. And then the Whippet, she's 6 or 7. We got her in 2019, so yeah, she's 7. And then the pit bull, she is, oh, here again, the left thing. She's 3 or 4. Cute, but dumb as a stump.
Well, 3 or 4, that's still a lot of puppy left in him. Her, I think that's what she said. But, yeah, you still gotta love them. But, yeah, Higgins and I, we got to go out and enjoy a bit of a walk this afternoon. Actually, it was late morning. Decided to get my lazy butt moving and go out and get us some fresh air, blow the stink off us. So we went out and did a 3.5-mile walk and came home and did some chores That was about it for me today. That, and then figured out the problem that I had with my radio this morning and blew everything up from the sounds of it. Oh, anyway, got it all ironed out nonetheless. So that's how my timeout timer, I think, ended up getting messed up because I had to go and figure out, I forget now what it's called, the setting on this bow thing. But I was like, well, instead of that happening again, I'm just going to do one channel at a time instead of dual watch. Well, that's what it was dual watch. There's a weight. What was it? Dual weight or something like that. I had it set wrong. So then it's VHF repeater went off. It switched over there, and I'm yammering away, and it's like interrupting the conversation over there, and something else happened, and it's like, oops, boy, do I feel stupid. So we had a learning experience today on top of it all. So, but, hey, isn't that what ham radio is all about, is learning? Oh, anyway. Oh, so back to you there, Tom. And hey, Zetsy.
You're connected to CMN Network.
Been there, done that on that DM32. I'm chatting away. I'm like, they're like, you're on the wrong frequency. I'm like, oh, crap. So now I have it set up. It's dual watch, but it's, I think it's dual weight. So if I'm on B channel, I don't hear A channel, and then I can go to A channel. So I'm not interrupting one, and it's not automatically switching when it just picks up a signal. So I figured that out. You know, so I'm okay there. But I've picked up having three radios in here with four different frequencies. Yeah, I tend to forget which one I'm on and grab the wrong mic. So, and I've been a ham for almost 30 years. So it happens. You learn from it. And you said that the whole purpose of the hobby is learning and trying different things.
Yep, been there, did that today. Dual weight, that's what it's called. And I was thinking about that the other day. You mentioned you've been a ham for almost 30 years. I think you and I might have been licensed pretty close to about the same time frame. My original call was KC8JKA, and you're KJO, so pretty close to there. But, yeah, because what? February 1998, I think, is when I first got licensed. So, yeah, I'm up there pushing close to 30 years now, too. Where did time go? I feel like Rumpelstiltskin sometimes. You wake up and it's like, where did the last 5 years go? Oh, anyway. But, yeah, that's exactly what I did today. You know, so I went in, got the manual out, looked and read, and it's like, okay, I think I'm understanding it now. Oh, this is the setting I needed, not that one. Duh. You know, so, well, maybe I got to go tweak the programming again just to make sure I got the timeout timer right in the program. It should be, because I remember looking at it, but it doesn't, things don't always write back to the radio like you planned, so, namely the timeout timer. Anyway, back to you, NAZC.
Yep, I was in 1998, and I think I was March or April that I did mine at the old Mount Clemens train depot in Mount Clemens. Yep, so 98, that's when I got mine. KC8KJO. And I'll be right back. I got to make a phone call. My wife just rang me up and can't leave her hanging. KC8KJO.
Okay, yeah, got to take care of the phone call. I'll just catch you a little later. I got a couple things to do. I think I'm going to go make myself some dinner. So, you have safe travels, and we'll catch you later. Thanks for the conversation. N8ZC, and I'll be clear.
All right, 73 to you, KCKGO.
Good evening, 1900 hours. Clear. 35 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. You're connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 2000 hours. Clear. 35 degrees. Currently connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 21 hours. Clear. 35 degrees. Connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 22 hours. Clear. 35 degrees. You're connected to CMN Network. Good evening, 23 hours. Clear. 35 degrees.